Really, my advice is to interview the people, not the job, and make sure that you're signing up to spend your day with people you want to spend time with. And I think the rest of it will kind of come with it. And I almost feel, I mean, I feel really lucky because I get both. I get the people and the cool, exciting whiskey to be working on. I don't know if everybody gets both, but I think you start with the people and then go from there.
From the American Craft Spirits Association and Craft Spirits Magazine, this is the Craft Spirits Podcast. I'm John Page, and today on the program we're joined by Kelly Woodcock of Westward Whiskey in Portland, Oregon. Kelly is a partner and serves as Vice President, Guest Experience and Whiskey Club, in which she oversees all direct-to-consumer sales programs for the state of Oregon, while running Westward's hospitality program and operations for the whiskey company's four tasting rooms. And earlier this year, she was elected as the vice president of ACSA's board of directors. In March, Kelly joined me via Zoom to discuss her road to Westward, which was House Spirits at the time, launching the distillery's airport tasting rooms, running the whiskey club, seeking parity for direct-to-consumer shipping of spirits, and much more. To begin the conversation, I asked Kelly to share her journey to Westward.
Yeah, I kind of started my career in cheese. So I worked for Tillamook Cheese and was a part of a campaign called the Loaf Love Tour, where we took these 1969 Volkswagen buses and cut them down so that we kind of removed the middle 4 feet. Rewelded them together so they looked like loaves of cheese. And I traveled the country like 300 days a year, sampling cheese and driving these cool cars around. So it was kind of a wild gig. But it really made me learn how much I love talking about what Oregon creates. That was kind of where I found my passion in that job. People were really passionate about the brand Tillamook and the cheese that they created. And so it was really fun to we went as far as Bentonville, Arkansas, and all around California, everywhere. So I loved it, but I wanted to get off the road and have an address and, start a family, kind of the basic life thing. So it kind of really led me to Westward because I got home and the friend of mine that gave me that job, I was telling her I needed to find a job local, but I wanted to rep Oregon and something cool that Oregon makes. And she's like, my mom's neighbor works at Aviation Gin, which was our former company. And she's like, they're hiring. So that was kind of my way in. I got to whiskey via gin, via cheese.
Yeah, well, now see, this is very interesting, Kelly. The prior to Westward story, because I have like, now I'm wondering, like, did you sleep in that cheese bus van? Like, are there like, they've been turned into like tiny houses now, or what, van life?
Yeah, they were too small and kind of wild. They could only go about 40 miles at an hour at best. So we towed them we had a long 44 foot trailer that we had three cars. It was a team of eight. We drove them into the trailer and then hauled them around the country and just drove locally and then stayed in hotels. So I racked up quite a few Marriott points, which was lovely, and got to see most of the country, which was very, very cool. And I was in a really cool car that made people holler at me and want to talk to me. So it was really nice to engage with people.
And Tillamook cheese is really good. We also have some of their ice cream in our fridge right now.
Yeah, they make good stuff.
Yeah, the cheese that we had is gone. Okay. So yeah, that sounds exhausting, like just really exhausting. So yeah. Had you already left that, or was the door open? Okay. And yeah.
No, I had to leave. It was too, it was really fun. We'd be in San Diego and on our off day go surfing, or in Denver and go horseback riding. So I took full advantage of the experience. And I knew that the only way I was really going to get out is if I fully quit and didn't wait to have a new gig lined up. So, I quit, moved back to Oregon, and then just kind of bounced around, did a lot of gardening until I found the Westward gig.
was gin something that you were into?
You know, it was. I wouldn't say I was a huge spirits person or any alcohol person, but I had a bottle of Aviation on my bar at home before I didn't even know that Aviation was an Oregon-based company, but way back then. So it was a real easy, it was really easy for me to say, yes, I want to try and get an interview, because when she said it was Aviation, I was like, I love Aviation. And then turns out I love everything that House Spirits was doing, now Westwood Whiskey.
Yeah. And so what were you doing? What was your first role there?
Oh, man. So I think my title was assistant marketing manager. I was the second hire on the marketing team, and then became the only person in the marketing team for a long while. And then eventually moved over to take over our direct-to-consumer business. But started out trying to figure out how to make shelf tags and neck hangers and all the fun collateral that the marketing team does.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, kind of the bigger shift to whiskey too. So like coming into it, you talk about that shift for you personally of, you know, going from cheese to gin to whiskey.
Yeah. You know, as a consumer, I was already drinking gin and enjoying gin cocktails, and my time with working on Aviation really taught me to appreciate, you know, the craft cocktails, and it totally expanded my own home bartending capability. And then that kind of just led me naturally, since we were already making Westward, into experimenting with spirits that I wasn't as familiar with. And then I think, and I still believe this, when people come into our tasting room and say that they're not whiskey drinkers, I'm like, totally fair. I totally understand, but I wasn't a whiskey drinker either. And then I got to appreciate the craft behind what making whiskey really is, and the kind of mystery or magic of what pot stills do, and, you know, the different shapes of that and the different woods. And there's just so much romance around that whiskey making process that it was easy for me to fall in love with it. And as a result, the spirit it speaks for itself. It's really delicious. So it was a really easy transition for me, as we were making both products. And then when we switched over to Westward exclusively, it was really exciting, because we knew how good we thought the whiskey was. And it was finally time to put the resources behind growing the brand. You know, when I started, I think this is true, it might be the second year I was there, but somewhere in that first, second year I was at the company, we released every barrel we had of Westward, which I think was 12 barrels. And it lasted us so long. We had it all bottled and ready to go. And it was really exciting. So to see, you know, a 12 barrel brand turn into something where, you know, we're making way more than that in a week now. So it's just been, you know, fun to be a part of that growth. And
And so talking about that growth, you know, one of the things that we've talked a little bit about, not on this podcast yet, but in general, is the airport tasting rooms. I believe there's two of them. Is that right?
Yeah. We have an inline store in one concourse and then a kiosk in another concourse.
Okay. So I think I went by, on my way out of Portland for the ACSA convention, I think I went by like the main one. And it was beautiful, and it was just a really cool thing to see, like, you know, in an airport terminal. But what was that process like of bringing that to life? How hard was that? Is it something you recommend other people to try?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we think it's an amazing opportunity, and are very excited to be there. The fact that we have a somewhat captive audience, you know, people especially now, you know, have a lot of anxiety about getting through TSA. So there's a lot of downtime between people's flights and when they get to the airport. And so to be able to talk to these people who have the time and the willingness to engage with us, but didn't know that they were going to be spending their time with us, is awesome. And Portland's airport has a ton of flights to California. And so we get to have a real tasting room experience with people that we might not necessarily engage with in our home, you know, in our distillery tasting room. So it's an awesome opportunity. It's a lot. There's, you know, the process of going through the RFP and getting into the airport, learning the rules about how that, you know, you operate as a good partner with the port is a learning curve for sure. You know, we were before we went into the airport, we're used to deciding like, hey, there's 2 inches of ice on the roads, it's not safe to open, we're closed. And we don't get to make that decision on our own, you know, working at the airport. So, you know, and being open 365 days a year, every day, 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. it comes with its own challenges, but I couldn't be more thankful for the opportunity to talk to all those people.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about the fact that you're probably getting people that come through that are like, what is this? What do you make? Totally. What is a Westward Spirits?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and then, so the Whiskey Club is that kind of your baby at this point?
Oh man, I share that baby with so many people at the distillery, okay. But not least of which is this woman I work with, Lauren Wildman, who's amazing. And her and I together created that. We believe it's the first brand-owned spirits club in the country. And yeah, we didn't know what we were doing. There was no model except for the wine industry. So we spent a lot of time and are lucky enough to be in, you know, really close to the Willamette Valley wine region. And so we spent a lot of time talking to our wine friends about what they do. But, you know, as we know, wine has so much of a different regulatory landscape that not everything can translate. And so we were trying to figure out, you know, consumers are used to that. How do we adapt that model to make it work on a regulatory level, and then, you know, what makes sense for the business. So there is a lot of troubleshooting, but it's the best thing that I've been involved with at Westward by far. It's changed the way I see our customers, the way we engage with customers is just so much more like personal, really. I don't know what the right word is for that, but I know a lot of the club members and know about their lives and I know how they share Westward. I there's a couple, Taylor and Danny, that met on Instagram over a Westward photo and they're now married.
Oh, wow.
It just blows my mind. So it's not only some of the best work that we do on a company level, but it's some of the most fun. Well, it's by far the most fun thing that we do on a personal level.
Can you talk just a little bit about, you know, in a nutshell, like how does it work? You know, if I'm a consumer and I'm interested in getting into it.
Yeah. So very similar to wine, like we said. So there's 4 releases a year, once a quarter. We have 2 tiers. One is a 1 bottle tier called the Expedition level, and then there's a 3 bottle tier called the Founders level. And so you sign up, it's free to join, and then we just charge you for the whiskey we're releasing. And it's a way for us to allow the distilling team to do some of those more wacky experiments. We've done things like worked with Ken's Artisan Bakery to propagate their sourdough leaven and turn that into whiskey, and you know, various beer and wine partners, all kinds of different things. So it's an outlet for those fun experiments. So there's always something new that we're releasing each quarter, and you know, you get to kind of figure out your favorites. And it's a fun way to try the new things. And then it's also the way that we add things to our permanent line collection. So, you know, we did that with Stout Cask and Pinot Cask, which we now sell everywhere, but they started out in club model.
Okay. So yeah, folks are kind of getting a preview of what might be coming.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are things you can ship these, is that right?
So we ship to within the state of Oregon,
okay.
And then we have an out-of-state partner that ships to a handful of other states around the country.
Well, and I guess now's a good time to ask you to put on your ACSA board director hat. You know, do you see DTC issues for craft spirits producers as, is that the number one concern or priority or issue, or where does it fit into, you know, that grander scheme of things for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, my number one issue, and it's a part of it, it is just the regulatory landscape and really looking for parity with wine and their capabilities. And one of the big discrepancies is the wine's ability to do direct to consumer shipping. And so I think it's definitely way up there, but it's part of a larger just parity with other industries like wine and beer. And I think, you know, the more we can talk directly to our customers, the more engaged they're going to be and the better for our business. And what we found through the pandemic is because that was when our state changed the rules to allow us to ship to Oregon, was really quickly after March of 2020. I think they did it in April. And so we were nervous. We're a control state. We didn't want our one customer, the OLCC, to, you know, be upset that we were maybe taking sales away from liquor stores, especially during the pandemic when everybody's sales were so critical. And so we included a postcard in every shipment that says, thank you so much for your purchase. You can purchase your next bottle of Westward online or at your local liquor store. And we saw, you know, we kind of did a Google map of where all our orders were coming and compared it to our sales and saw an increase in the store sales next to where the, you know, the people were located that were purchasing online. So we really feel like it not only supports our direct-to-consumer business, but it supports our on and off-premise business
okay.
as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, and then just in general, you know, running for the ACSA board, which was last year. Now, as we're chatting, there's another election going on. Just tell me a little bit about your, you know, kind of decision-making process and deciding to put yourself up and out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I work obviously closely with Tom Mooney and, you know, he's the inaugural president and part of the founding of ACSA. And so I think we've just got a culture at Westward that supporting ACSA and giving back to the community is the way that everybody's business grows, including ours. And I was definitely nervous about the time commitment and whether I could take on another thing. I think it's true that in the craft spirits industry, everybody wears 400 hats to keep their businesses running. And so it can be daunting to take that on. But I talked to Tom, I talked to Margie and some other people that were on the board and realized that I do have the time, I can make the time. And that when you prioritize giving back to the community is critical. So it was, once I thought through it like that, it was easy to sign up. And the more you get involved, I mean, even in my short time, I haven't even been on for a full year, but I already feel even more embraced by the community. And so on a personal level, it's given me so much already. And I'm hopeful that I'm giving back as much as I'm getting, but I doubt that to be true.
Well, and you talk about giving back to the community too. And obviously Westward was an inaugural host for ACSA Step Up Foundation, the internship program. So you all hosted Yaki and Aaron. I'm also kind of curious to hear your experience on that and your take on that. And also with the this is a random point, but I was talking to somebody in the beer who kind of has their foot in both the beer and spirits world last week, who told me that compared to beer, they feel like the spirits world is better when it comes to diversity. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, maybe, but I'm just that came up and I'm just curious to hear you talk about Step Up, but also your thoughts on that issue.
Well, I'll say it would be dangerous for me to comment on spirits versus beer because I have nearly no experience in the beer industry.
Fair.
Yeah. But I will say that from my very consumer set eyes, I think they might be right. But I know that, you know, we live in a country where things are just not a level playing field. So, you know, I'm a woman in an industry that's predominantly male. And so it's just very clear that it's our responsibility to help make change. And so when Step Up started, it was very easy for us to raise our hand and volunteer to be one of the first distilleries to host, and exciting. we want, you know, that's something that, you know, personally, and I'm sure this is what almost everyone says, watching the George Floyd situation unfold and, you know, seeing that murder happen was heartbreaking. And if there was any blind eye on my side, it was impossible to keep that going after those videos came out. And so, you know, we were looking for ways to make change, and I mean, Step Up is just an easy yes, and part of, you know, one step in something that needs to take many, many, many steps forward.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Any upcoming Whiskey Club and or just general Western releases that you're able to share any details about?
Yeah. Okay. So we just released last week our February release, and it was a Saturn cask, which was very exciting. It's one of my favorite, maybe my favorite. It's hard for me to pick, but it's very up there as one of my favorite club releases. And I'm really excited that later this year in August, so skipping May, well, we're doing stuff in May too, but August, we're releasing another round of our sourdough expression, which when that first came out in 2020, I was like over the moon about it. So I'm excited to see what some additional age has done to that whiskey expression. So if okay. You haven't signed up, do it, because it's coming in August.
Okay. Yeah. We'll drop a link into this so that anyone who stumbles on this might find it.
Amazing.
Yeah. Is there anything else that, you know, that we haven't chatted about that you'd want people to know about Westward?
You know, the thing I'm thinking about right now, there's a million, but it's a great place to work. I, you know, I think part of what we do is really amazing, exciting, delicious whiskey. But the other part is that it's fun to be there and be around great people. And I think that seeps into the product. I might be drinking the Kool-Aid too much, but you know, it's a pretty cool to be excited to wake up every day and not only be excited about what you're sharing with the world, but the people you get to do that with. So I guess I want people to know that. Come check us out, and maybe the Kool-Aid will rub off on you too.
You did the Tillamook work for how long?
Gosh, it was 2 years.
Okay. And you've been doing this for 10 years. So I think maybe to close things out to people out there, because there might be somebody out there listening who's not at all in the spirits world. Let's say they're in a job they've been doing for about that long, and they're selling something that's kind of cool, but they're, you know, it's not their life's work. What's your advice to that person right now?
You know, really my advice is to interview the people, not the job, and make sure that you're signing up to spend your day with people you want to spend time with. And I think the rest of it will kind of come with it. And I feel really lucky because I get both. I get the people and the cool, exciting whiskey to be working on. I don't know if everybody gets both, but I think you start with the people and then go from there.
Any other advice just for folks out there in the distilling world right now?
Start a club. It's amazing. I think I talk to people all the time from other distilleries about what they're starting and trying. And I really think everybody should have one. It's a little bit, I think, goofy for me to say that, because, you know, we're opening what we started to the whole world. And I think people often are like, are you sure you're willing to share information? But yes, I want everyone to think that whiskey clubs are a thing. I think it will make people sign up more if they're familiar with it. And so, yeah, start a club. That's my advice.
Yeah, well, that's good to know, because when you say that, you know, we were the first to do it, somebody out there might think, well, they don't want other people to do it. But it is that rising tide lifts all boats thing. And 100%. Yeah. So you would encourage your own Whiskey Club members to go out there and join other ones too.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not worried. I feel confident we're making good stuff and people will come to us. And I know other people are making great stuff and people will be excited about that too. So don't let it stop you that there's other ones that have started. It's pretty great.
That's our program for today. Thanks again to Kelly Woodcock for joining us. You can learn more about Westward Whiskey and check out the Whiskey Club at westwardwhiskey.com. We'll be back soon. Until then, thanks for listening, and cheers.